Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 26, Winter Haiku Companion. This is your host, Monk, and I'll be reading some classical and some modern and some of my own original haiku, the shortest poetic form which comes to us from Japan. And these will be translations of those that are the classics, translations in English. Show number 8 is a nice companion to this show because it's a whole overview and explanation of haiku. But this show is kind of simple, especially after last week's show about the military-industrial complex. I wanted to do something simple and also in a haiku sense notice that during the winter time, haiku is sort of a deeper companion, provides mantras, and writing them is sometimes more challenging because, you know, outside in cold temp areas, there's not as much going on. So the haiku comes in as a companion. To be reading haiku from several books. One is from R.H. Blythe's 4-volume book called Haiku, and this is one that was a big influence on Jack Kerouac and many writers. It's really a classic. I don't always agree with Blythe's explanations and interpretations of the haiku, but it's an astounding collection of the classics in various sections and arranged by season, so it really fits with the journey of the season, and that's an important aspect of haiku, the season words, akigo. So it's an excellent book for that, for many reasons, and it was first published in 1952. And then go on to some other books. It's sort of a tradition among a lot of haiku poets to read haiku twice. The reason being is they're so short. Sometimes it sort of goes past the listener or over their head, perhaps. But it's also to add to it and give a different appreciation, because sometimes you hear something different on the second to go round. When I read mine, I sometimes do read them twice. Sometimes I don't. I sometimes feel that once is enough. That it just hits the sweet spot and that's it. So it varies how one chooses to read them. Some of them I'm just going to read and, you know, let them do their thing, and also I'll make some comments if that feels appropriate. So starting the winter season, and the first one has a word, D-A-I-M-Y-O, a daimyo. I don't know how you pronounce it exactly, but in Japan, it was kind of like a feudal lord, go around and check up on people, and, you know, would come in on the horse, and people would get a little bit nervous or, you know, concerned. That's what I've gathered from the haiku, that the you know, it would affect the people, and these were not the types who were very sensitive to, say, the flowers or the habitat. So this first one is by Shiki, who is one of the four masters, or five masters, the most modern. He brought haiku into the modern world and was big on writing haiku about baseball and sort of inventions and things. That was a shift in haiku. So here's one of his. A daimyo passed, afterwards, the cold. It's an exclamation point. So I'm interpreting that as that's what Blythe says. The feudal lord passed along the road. People had to kneel by the wayside and perform obeisance, not lifting their heads until he had gone by. What I like about this one is it reminds me of how there is cold weather, and there is also the cold feeling that people leave sometimes if that's, you know, the energy they put out. So it reminds me that, you know, even during the winter time, we can be warm. Even though it's cold out, we can be warm, or perhaps the cold is colder because of cold people who do cold things, or just someone who is rude, perhaps. And this one's by Onitsura. This winter day, it is warm in the sun, but cold. This winter day, it is warm in the sun, but cold. This is by Issa, Kobayashi Issa. From a hermitage, a toothless voice crying, blessings inside. From a hermitage, a toothless voice crying, blessings inside. The old man of the temple, splitting wood in the winter moonlight. The old man of the temple, splitting wood in the winter moonlight. That's by Busson, another of the haiku masters. To wake alive in this world, what happiness! Winter rain. To wake alive in this world, what happiness! Winter rain. That's by Shoha. What I like about that one is that it's pretty self-explanatory. He's happy to be alive no matter what the weather, but I like the contrast that it's wintry and rainy, and he expresses the happiness with an exclamation point. Seems too often people say the weather's lousy today, when it's as a human being, it's another day on earth, and as an artist and a haiku poet, it's like rubbing one's hands together with excitement. It's a different kind of weather day, which really provides another opportunity for writing something of a different, you know, different flavor, different color, different feeling. Here's one by Issa, which has a touch of humor in it. The Buddha on the moor, from the end of his nose hangs an icicle. The Buddha on the moor, from the end of his nose hangs an icicle. One rule, sort of a rule, loose rule, if you're reading haiku aloud, and you read them twice, if it's a good idea to not say them the same way. That's what I'm trying to do, is give a different emphasis or inflection, so it doesn't just sound, like a machine. And this is by Matsuo Basho, first haiku master, from a sort of a contemporary of Shakespeare. Winter desolation in a world of one color, the sound of the wind. Winter desolation in a world of one color, the sound of the wind. A friend had gifted me with one of those snow globes, and it's got trees, bare trees, and snow, and a little bit of a stream going through it, and there's a haiku. The haiku is inscribed on it, and when you turn the little spring, it plays the cry of a loon. So, and it has that poem on there. And another by Shiki: a lantern entered a house on the withered moor. A lantern entered a house on the withered moor. It might almost sound funny. Some kids might say, "Hey, how did the lantern get into the house on its own?" But that the technique is really a good one for haiku. That because the poem is so short, you have to tell a lot in a few words. So a lot of times, a device is to pick one thing that represents the whole. So we have the person going into the house, but what would be seen perhaps from a distance is just basically the lantern going into the house. So it's a neat image, but it also shows how a good haiku can work. It's like a telephoto lens zooming in on one particular thing and using that to reflect the whole. Another by Shiki, this one, the contrast is nice. The traveler walks over the withered moor, eating an orange. The traveler walks over the withered moor, eating an orange. This one is by Busson. Winter seclusion in the inmost mind, the mountains of Yoshino. Winter seclusion in the inmost mind, the mountains of Yoshino. I love that one for, the layers, the onion layers, the wheels within wheels, and the meditative state of that. Also, what's fascinating is just by the accident, maybe by accident, in the translation, in the English, there are so many ins that it just really fits the poem. The winter seclusion, well, seclusion has an ion, and then in the inmost mind has an in, mountains has an in, and Yoshino, the mountain range, has an in. So just sort of a neat thing about that, which shows how much you can get out of a haiku sometime if you take the time and not just read them and that's it. A lot of haiku, it's almost like being given a mantra or a Zen koan. You can sit and reflect on them and learn a lot, actually, over the years. And here's one by Yaha. I like that name, Yaha, however he said it. The flame is motionless, a rounded sphere of winter seclusion. The flame is motionless, a rounded sphere of winter seclusion. And one by Shiki. Winter seclusion. There is something I'd like to ask Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni refers to Shakyamuni Buddha. And that's quite an interesting one, because it's a mystery about what, but it's almost thinking of, could have been someone who you saw today and forgot to ask something, or someone who's passed on that didn't ask something, or anything along those lines. Winter seclusion. There is something I'd like to ask Shakyamuni. All right, that's it from Blight. Most books will tell you there's four haiku masters, but over the years I make a point to include Chio Ni. She's a female haiku master. And here are a few of hers. This is a wonderful book, Chio Ni, Woman Haiku Master, edited by Patricia Donegan and Yoshi Ishibashi. Very difficult book to find. It may be out of print. Narcissus Fragrance, Even Scattered Over Snow. Narcissus Fragrance, Even Scattered Over Snow. One Must Bend in the Floating World, Snow on the Bamboo. One Must Bend in the Floating World, Snow on the Bamboo. And there's a note with this. In Edo times, the floating world referred to everyday life as both a world of instability or transiency and a world of sensuality or pleasure. Perhaps, more like a decadence. Closely related is color woodblock prints from the Edo period, which feature kabuki theater scenes, samurai, geisha, pleasure quarters, birds, flowers, and landscapes. So, obviously with the birds, flowers, and landscapes, there's I think the sensuality and pleasure is not meant to be in any way judgmental, just that it's, when talking about comparing it to the spiritual world, that it's realizing that it is of the physical as compared with whatever else one is comparing on some kind of inner state. And here's one more by Chio Ni. Putting up my hair no more. My hands in the kotatsu. And the note on this is, in Chio Ni's day, all women had long hair which they put up in elaborate styles. This haiku was written when, at the age of 52, Chio Ni became a nun, shaved her head, and changed her name to Soen, Simple Garden. The kotatsu is a table covered with a quilt with a charcoal brazier under it. This haiku shows her relaxation in the freedom that she could now fully live the way of haikai. The way of haikai is kind of haiku as a lifestyle, as a part of one's spiritual path. At the beginning, there's a note, which I'm presuming it is from Chio Ni, perhaps like a diary thing. I'm not shaving my head because I'm rejecting the world, but rather because I feel helpless and lonely thinking about the world of impermanence, which is like a stream of water flowing night and day. Putting up my hair no more, my hands in the kotatsu. And, here's one more I have bookmarked. Anyway, leave it to the wind. Dry pampas grass. That's not pompous, like a snotty, it's P-A-M-P-A-S, a type of grass. And some of these where I'm pausing, there'll be a dash or a comma. That's called the cutting word or cutting, it's like a caesura. It's a pause in the haiku. Anyway, leave it to the wind, dry pampas grass. And the note is that this is one of Chio Ni's best-known Buddhist haiku expressing the peace of detachment. Now moving up, following along the Zen line, one of my favorites of the modern poets who is generally not much talked about in, the modern haiku circles. So I wrote an essay about him as one of my unsung heroes. It's from a book, Endless Vow, The Zen Path of Soen Nakagawa. Soen Nakagawa was a Zen master, so at the end of his name is often Roshi, which means Zen master. And one of my all-time favorite haikus, it's one of my mantras. This is not winter, but it explains the title of the book. It's dated Autumn, October 8th, with a question mark, 1937, bowing to Haikuin's stupa at Ryutaku-ji in Mishima. Endless is my vow under the azure sky, boundless autumn. Endless is my vow under the azure sky, boundless autumn. I like to say that and put boundless season or whatever at other times of the year. And I'll give it a go because it's this has the Japanese phoneticized under the poem. It starts with Eozora, which is obviously azure, so that shows that sometimes the Japanese, like here it's the first word, but it's in the English second line, so that shows you how things get lost in translation as the phrase goes. Eozora ni wagagan zuki zu aki zuki zu. So Nakagawa also writes a lot of, in this book are what's called haibun, which is a haiku complemented with a short narrative piece, often from a travel journal. And typically the narrative prose part goes before and then the haiku punctuates at the end, but it, you know, it can vary, and there's sometimes haiku in the middle. So this is dated summer 1938. Going down the Amur River in a steam-driven paddle-wheel boat, I am able to do a lot of zazen. That's the Zen sitting meditation. The great river running through the broad open vista permeates my soul day by day. At midnight, I cross my legs on the prow of the upper deck. Beneath the dome of stars, the prow of this boat sets its course. Beneath the dome of stars, the prow of this boat sets its course. And since we started the Chinese year of the snake, this is January 1965, the poem. we're not in the Twilight Zone. January 1965, this is already the 40th year of the Showa era. On the first day of the year of the serpent, with the 200th anniversary of Hakuin Zenji coming up in 2 years, we celebrate the actualization of the truth. Sentient beings are primarily all Buddhas. This very body is the body of a Buddha. Year of the serpent already uncoiling. Self, itself. Year of the serpent already uncoiling self, itself. And we'll wrap up with his book. Here's one with the explanation follows, and then two other haiku. Winter 1937. In winter, the seven stars walk upon a crystal forest. In winter, the seven stars walk upon a crystal forest. And that's listed as from Ten Haiku of My Choice, 1973. I wrote that poem in Manchuria before World War II. It was a night in which the vast steppes, STEPPES, were completely encased in snow and ice. I was traveling on foot following the North Star. The Big Dipper was in the sky above the forest. Every tree was blooming with flowers of ice. My walking and that of the stars became one. In winter, the seven stars walk upon a crystal forest. About that time, I also wrote the following poem. My urine turns to cloud mountains on the ground. My urine turns to cloud mountains on the ground. Now, one of the things I love about this guy is that he covers all the bases, and he gets spiritual and mundane. He just touches on it all, and one of the stories on the back of the book says that he was a notoriously eccentric teacher who, for example, was known to conduct tea ceremonies using instant coffee and styrofoam cups. That's one of my favorite little anecdotes. And after that, there's one more in this series. Warning, this is not really too many X-rated haiku, but here it goes. This may seem strange, but it reminds me of another poem, a favorite of mine. Aiming my penis out over the steps, awoken from a nap. Aiming my penis out over the steps, awoken from a nap. The word penis had never been used before in haiku, and I was criticized for exposing such a thing. But a penis is just a penis. Nowadays, there is confusion regarding sex, but in truth, sexual energy, like digestive energy, is God's fine energy, Buddha's energy, cosmic energy. Thank you, Soen Nakagawa Roshi. And another book, this is edited by Cor Vandenhoevel, a wonderful gentleman who I've gotten to meet on several occasions and hosted some readings where he's read, and he really helped put modern haiku on the map, because this is the haiku anthology, over 800 of the best English language haiku and related works. I think it's been published, I think it's into a third edition. Oh, this one is from 1999. I'll start with one by Eric Amann, A-M-A-N-N. Snow falling on the empty parking lot. Christmas Eve. That one ends with an ellipsis. Snow falling on the empty parking lot. Christmas Eve. And one by Bob Boldman. And the first line is in all caps. This is actually a two-line haiku. January 1st. The fingers of the prostitute cold. January 1st. The fingers of the prostitute cold. And here's a few by Matsuo Allard. And these are interesting. These are in one line across, horizontally. We're used to seeing haiku in basically three lines. One, you know, vertically, one above the other. Actually, the haiku were originally written on the scroll vertically in one long line. So I think this is what Matsuo Allard may be going for, is to, in English, kind of simulate the original Japanese. The tricky part about the horizontal ones is there aren't the line breaks to know where to pause, which in a way makes it kind of, it makes it more interesting to read. An icicle, the moon drifting through it. An icicle, the moon drifting through it. Snow by the window, paper, flowers gathering dust. Snow by the window, paper, flowers gathering dust. Thawing ice, the garbage blooming out of it. Thawing ice, the garbage blooming out of it. I like the surprise of that one, the last line, often sort of like the punchline to a joke. And here is a couple by Cor Vandenhoevel. Snow drifts above the bear's den, starry night. Snow drifts above the bear's den, starry night. And he's also put together, he co-edited a book called Baseball Haiku with Nane Tamura. And that's a wonderful book. I use that as an example in classes, as you know, that anybody, even, you know, guy athletes types, can get into haiku by reading some baseball haiku. And here's a very nice one. Snowstorm, a baseball glove under the Christmas tree. Snowstorm, a baseball glove under the Christmas tree. Also going to read a few from the 2013 haiku calendar, which is published by All Book Books. And since we're into January, it's up on the website for a few dollars less than it was last year. And it's also available in combo with a book, How to Write Haiku Plus Anthology, which I edited. And that's called Haiku One Breaths, A Voice Through a Tangle. So let's see, here are a few from, I'll read some from December and January, and that should do it for the calendar ones. I don't want to read the February ones because it's not February yet. And I'm going to start off with when a haiku is very humorous, it's often typically called a sanryu, S-E-N-R-Y-U, sanryu. And this is by a friend in Colorado, Chris Clendenin, a retired English professor. Deflated Santa, flat on his face in the yard. Stand back, give him air. Deflated Santa, flat on his face in the yard. Stand back, give him air. Prayers cover the earth, trees stripped of leaves. Prayers cover the earth, trees stripped of leaves. As by Patricia Kerrigan. Coins rattling in a beggar's cup. Coins rattling in a beggar's cup. Jamie White. Within this house, safe from the whip of winter storms. Within this house, safe from the whip of winter storms. That's by Patty Tanna. A lot of the people in this calendar are Long Island poets, and there's also people, a variety of people from a lot of places. There's about 50 artists in the calendar. It has photos and brush calligraphy of ancient Chinese pictographs. And here are some from in the January section. The song of last year's leaves fading in my memory, red, yellow, transparent. The song of last year's leaves fading in my memory, red, yellow, transparent. A. Malatkov. And the next one is by Kaveri Patel. And she, this poem is actually, it's really a short poem with a title. So, a lot of times people write, it doesn't have to be exactly a haiku. You can have fun writing short poems, and it's haiku-ish. New world. Rising sun. The sky is on fire. Who am I not to burn with beauty? New world. Rising sun, the sky is on fire. Who am I not to burn with beauty? That last line is just is beautiful. It's sometimes it just fits the mood I'm in when I realize it's just something needs done or just to feel a certain way. It's like, who am I not to fill in the blank? So, a lovely poem there. And another one, finish up with the calendar ones. This is by Keith Simmons. Snow falls silently, but if you listen, snow falls silently, but if you listen. When I do the haiku, when I read them in at readings, use a singing bowl, which I think's been on the show before. And so I'm going to do that and read some. Bare tree shadows crisscross on snow. The sun is a deep well of light. Beats the winter cold, this filling the belly at dinner. Life is full of winter surprises. Pasta behind the stove. Gray winter sky, as far as the eye can't see. All the guests gone, only the wind banging the old storm door. outside the library. A crow's call. Epiphany. Frigid night. The bowl of soup becomes my universe. Who has not felt the weight of this world? Winter moon. Bowl gently wavers out in as it goes on and on. Thank you very much for listening. That has mellowed me out, so it's quieted my voice, and we're going to go out with something I found on YouTube. Shakuhachi flute playing is quite relaxing. Do not operate heavy machinery while listening to this. It's wonderful in that it has pauses, which is also reflective of the haiku, that they are sort of these moments that jump out of the silence, or that after the haiku there one could reflect on it. So it's about a 5-minute piece. When I first listened to it, I was doing dishes or something, and it seemed like it went on much longer, which says something about the power of the combination of sound and silence and sound and silence. So thanks for listening. Take care and be well.